You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. Thank the Lord for the good singing tonight. Appreciate you that have come back out tonight. We didn't lose too many tonight. Thank the Lord for your kindness. Appreciate those that fixed lunch for us today. Very kind of them to do that. We began this morning, want to continue tonight, looking at a little two-word phrase that appears some 25 or 30 times in the New Testament. And the little phrase is, this man, this man. Each time it is mentioned, for a few exceptions, they're making a big to-do about who Jesus is. So we're preaching in these days on making much of this man. This morning we led us to look at making much of this man's claims. Just who in the world does he think he is? He's got the crown. You got the crown, you the boss. And he's running your show whether you want him to run it or not. Even if you're lost and on your way to hell tonight, he's still running your show. Tonight, I want to turn our attention, if I could, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I'd like to look at this phrase again tonight. And make much of this man's compassion. This man's compassion. Bible says in verse 1 of this chapter, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man, here he is, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Certainly a lot of ways you can make that statement. I'm sure this religious crowd's, this man gracious, receive sinners, even eat with a sinner. Now, if I was to say that, I'd want to be broke. He receives sinners, even eats with them. As we begin to deal with this thing of making much of this man's compassion, would draw our attention tonight to the explanation of his compassion. Many texts tonight, we'll look at some texts tonight, actually have the word compassion in it. Some have not the word, but picture the truth of compassion. This text in front of us tonight is a beautiful picture of compassion. Did I tell you? He loves sinners tonight. Well, he'll receive them. He likes to eat with sinners. Can you imagine such a thing? Eating with sinners. I was thinking tonight about this word compassion defined. The word that is used in the New Testament, compassion. It means to have bowels of deep inward feelings, to yearn, to feel sympathy toward another, to pity with intense pity the inward man, affections of tender mercy, to show tender mercy by word and deed. I love this little definition. To get in the skin of another. I was wondering tonight, when is the last time you asked the Lord to let you get in the skin of a lost sinner and feel what they're going to feel in hell when they're tormented forever and ever in the flames of the fire? Feel what they have failed. Those headed to outer darkness, gnashing of teeth, eternal fire, eternal torment. I fear some of us tonight like to look down on sinners and say, glad I'm not like them.
Lord,
I tell you what Holly Springs needs. You need God to blow through here and save some real sinners. Some got pink hair. Some, what they ain't got tattooed, they got it pierced. And God just radically changed them. Because see, us religious crowd, it's hard to tell whether you're a sinner or not. You got it glossed over so good. You're going to the same place they're going if you don't get saved. You get to spend all of eternity with them. Entering into the skin of another. Not looking down on sinners, but to be like Jude said, having compassion, making a difference, pulling them out of the fire. Talking about the passion defined. Could I see in this text tonight compassion demonstrated? I was thinking tonight in this text to what length he would go to get a sinner. How far he would go to save someone here tonight. He says in our text, this man receiveth sinners. I was interested in that little word, sinner. The little word is a bozeman's term. What? A bozeman's term. The word literally means one who misses the target and shall not get the prize. I did not know if you noted or not. The only way you can go to heaven, God says, is that you must hit a dead sinner bullseye.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Here's mine and your problem. We don't know how to shoot a spiritual bow and arrow.
Right. Yeah.
But his demands, you're going to hell if you don't hit it dead center. Wow. You're a sinner. I got good news for you though. He came to this earth. He took one shot. Hit her dead center. He stepped away from the line and is offering for you to hold the bow. Stand up on the line and act like his shot was your shot and smile for the picture. You can't beat that. Sinners. He says he receiveth them to admit into the conversation of fellowship, to have patience with, to bow down so one can bend another towards God. Receive a sin. We don't have a lot of patience with sinners. He does. He's got all the patience in the world. He receiveth. He says he even eateth with them. The word eateth means to associate with for the purpose of bringing about a likeness. He says he likes to eat with sinners. How come? He likes to rub on them. How come? He wants to leave his likeness on them. He gets done with them. It looks just like him. He loves it. Loves sinners. He'll go to any lengths to get him a sinner. receiveth them, eateth with them. I was thinking about that again this week, to what lengths he'll go just to tell a sinner that he is a great Savior. First year I was married, we spent that first year in Brooklyn, New York. I was stationed in Manhattan. I had lived there the year before I got married. Please forgive me, I'm not proud of this, but I lived for the devil while I was there. I closed up a bar there in Brooklyn on 5th Street and 6th Avenue called the Zebra Bar. There was an old boy there, he was an Italian. He had that black hair. Boy, he was just a handsome Italian man. He's a bookie. And I placed bets with him every night. If you know anything about New York, you'll know that they make a total in the New York Times every day of how much money was bet on the horses the day before. And everybody bets on the last four digits of that total. You can win a lot of money, or you can lose a lot of money. I place bets with Nikki every night. We were married the next year. I began to get away from all that. God began to radically sanctify me in my life. Amen. 30 years later, we went to New York in January, right after Christmas. That's a miracle right there, that you'd have money after Christmas to go to New York. It was 17 degrees in New York. Cold. Oh, it was so cold. I went with my brother and his wife, Beth, and myself. One morning I told my brother, I said, let's catch the R&R train and let's go over to Brooklyn and look at the brownstone that her and I lived in the first year we were married. I noticed on my walk over to that brownstone that the Zebra Bar was gone. It was a real estate broker. We went and looked at the brownstone. We took pictures of it. Her and I were walking back up 5th Street and 6th Avenue, and we stopped at a little grill. And as I was walking by, I told her, I said, wouldn't it be something? It's been 30 years. If I could see Nikki, tell him what God had done in my life. What extent God would go to tell a sinner he's a great Savior. We're sitting in a grill right beside the R&R subway in Brooklyn, New York. There's an elderly man come. He's been 30 years. Elderly man come in. Oh, man, he is a good-looking Italian. That hair is still black. He's got it combed back. He's come in to get two coffees to go. I told her, I said, if that's not Nikki, I'll eat my hat. I went up behind him and I said, are you Nikki the bookie? He said, it depends on who wants to know. He said, are you an FBI agent or an IRS agent? I said, I'm neither. He said, I'm Nikki the bookie. I got a chance. He didn't remember me. He took thousands of bets. But I got a chance to tell him how God had changed my life. Oh, what a great Savior he was. I believe with all of my heart, God supplied the money for us to take a trip to New York so he could cross paths with that sinner and tell him he was a great Savior. He has come by here tonight. He has crossed paths with you to tell you he's a great Savior. Love sinners. Receiveth sinners, even eats with them. Explanation of compassion. You turn your Bible over one page, maybe to your right. Could I mention not only the explanation of his compassion, could I mention the declaration of his compassion? This text has the word compassion in it. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 20. There is a saving story of declaration about compassion. And he arose, came to his father. You know the story is the story of the prodigal son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Always interested in that little word, saw. It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not, maybe way over your head. It means to see because one is looking for. He's playing the whole cotton picking thing. He's sitting on the front porch waiting for him to come home. He said he saw him and had. There it is. He's yearning deep down inside of him. He's gotten in the skin of this boy. He has felt what he has felt if he was to go to hell. He had compassion upon him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I was interested in what went on prior to this compassion. This boy has learned in this story God's mathematical program. There's some of you here tonight. You are a sinner. You're lost. And God is teaching you his mathematical program. Watch it if you would. The Bible tells us in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided the... I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. It is a mathematical problem of division. The boy said, I don't want all of you, Daddy. I just want part of you. There's some of you sitting right here tonight, some of you young people, you don't want all of God. You just want God when you need him. You've distanced yourself from God. You're not radically in the process of drawing as close to God as you possibly can. If you're not drawing nigh to God, God is backing away from you. God's mathematical program. Watch the text. It says, in not many days, in verse 13, after the younger son had gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, and there wasted the mathematical property there, his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all mathematical property, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. All three, same mathematical property. Subtraction. If you do not get as close to God as you possibly can, God says, I will kick in subtraction on you. He said, it'll be ever so slow. He said, you won't even notice it happening until it's too late. Some of you sitting right here tonight, you're already in the subtraction program. Subtracting. Watch the text. The Bible says in verse 15, and he went and joined himself. That is a mathematical property. It is the mathematical property of addition. God sees that this boy don't want to get as close as he possibly can. He's distancing himself from the father, and the father kicks in subtraction, and he leaves this boy trying to get life to add up. He's gone down here slopping hogs. Time out, hold on. Jews don't slop hogs. I'm telling you tonight, you make yourself a note. You distance yourself from God. You do not go whole hog. You want all of God. You just want part of him. He kicks in subtraction. He will leave you trying to make sense out of life, and you will find yourself doing things you thought you would never do. They listen to me. You'll find yourself in the middle of the, boy, preacher, I couldn't see myself, done been married 2 or 3 times already. You distance yourself from God. He kicks in subtraction. He'll leave you trying to get things to add up. The Bible tells us in verse number 17, and when he came to himself, I know some people, and I'm not going to argue with you if you preach his salvation from verse 17. I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe he got saved here. I believe he had an Oprah moment. I'm broke. Daddy's loaded. If I could get back there and get some more money from Daddy, I could go a little further. Preacher, what makes you think he's not saved here? Read the text with me. I'll overemphasize some things that make me think he didn't get saved. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants? Well, there's a mathematical property too, the mathematical property of multiplication. Do you know, as long as I lived at my daddy's house, he never did anything but multiply? I never could understand it when I lived at my daddy's house. Do you know they had switches on the wall, and when you flipped that switch, the lights would come on? I never give it a thought. I didn't know he paid bills and made that little switch work. I never did go to the refrigerator and didn't have milk in it. I thought he had a cow somewhere. Multiply. Watch the text. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The reason I don't think he got saved is because he still eat up with himself. I believe with all of my heart there is some of you sitting here tonight lost and on your way to hell. And you did exactly what this boy did. He came to the Father. You cannot get saved coming to the Father. The Father must come to you. If you initiated, you ain't got jack. Are you listening to me tonight? You may have prayed the prayers. You may have turned over a good leaf. You may have dunked in the baptismal pool, and you are living the good life. I tell you, you better be sure God came to you. Watch what happens. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion. He smothers him with kisses. He starts his little thing that he's going to do. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one. And gets about halfway. He stops him there, sends to the house. He gets his robe. He gets his shoes. He gets his rings. He robes him. He rings him. And he shoes him. He leaves the boy standing right there in the middle of the road in awe. In Georgia, we call that mouth hanging open while scratching head. Matter of fact, he throwed a good big party. Killed a fatted calf. The Bible says here in verse 23, he says, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin. Why don't this boy give his own testimony? Why's daddy got to give his testimony? I believe he's sitting there at the party just like this. He's been broadsided. A great Savior loves sinners. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, you're coming to Jesus, you get nothing. But if Jesus ever comes to you, you'll hit the mother load tonight. If he ever has compassion on you. talking about a saving story of declaration. You have the Bible there, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 18. I mentioned not only a saving declaration, but could I mention a sovereign statement of declaration? Matthew chapter number 18. We're talking about the declaration of his compassion. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servant. Hey, did you notice who we're talking about in verse 23? Awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. The one who's got the crown. The king. He says, which would take account of his servants. When he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Wow. That's a pretty good debt. One talent in Jewish economy was equivalent to 20 years' wages. 20 years' wages. This old boy owed him 200,000 years' wages. I don't know if you can get this or not. This may be way out in left field for your comprehension. That sounds like to me a debt you couldn't pay. That's what I had. A debt. I couldn't pay it. And the debt was getting bigger on a daily basis because I was a sinner. He says in verse 25, but for as much as he had not paid, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with what? Compassion!
Yeah.
And loosed him and forgave him. That little word forgave, he absolved the debt. He said, I tell you what. He said, I'll just act like you don't owe me nothing. That's what Jesus told me July the 14th, 1968. He said, I'm just going to act like you never have done anything wrong. Wow. You think me knowing that I'm going to sit in a Baptist church and do this? Oh, no. Get happy every now and then. Huh? I'm telling you, he will go to any lengths to tell a sinner there is a great Savior. I wonder what lengths you're going to. Some of you have got children, you've got grandchildren that are lost. Are you going to great lengths to tell them there's a great Savior? I remember years ago in Greenville, South Carolina, I was young in Bible school. There was an Amco dealership there, and he fixed preachers' cars for free. Never charged nothing. Zero. Even a transmission. That's what he specialized in. He had 9 bays at that Amco. You never would go there that all 9 bays were full and people were waiting in the yard for him to wait on them. But this is what blowed my mind. Across the back where the 9 bays was, a wall bigger than that wall behind the choir loft, there was a big sign up there. I mean, it was big as life. And it said this: we witness first, we fix transmissions later. You would not go in there without one of them boys asking you this question: are you 100% sure if you died today you're going to heaven? That is the question, isn't it? I told my son the other day in the Navy, he was talking about trying to deal with different various sundry situations, transgender, homosexuals, lesbians. I said, son, I wouldn't even deal with all that mess. I said, there is something that all of us have got that is universal. We're all going to die. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Are you 100% sure tonight? If you drop dead before you leave this building, you're going to heaven. Do you realize tonight you've got children and grandchildren sitting on the pew with you tonight that cannot answer that question in an affirmative? Are you listening to me tonight? It would do you good tonight just to pose that question to them. Are you listening? I'm talking about the declaration, the explanation. Could I close tonight, if you have the Bible there, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. Just thinking about this thing of compassion. The old songwriter said, oh, great compassion. Oh, boundless love. Oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace sheltered under the blood, and I will pass over you. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God dispanned at Calvary. Are you going to great lengths to tell sinners? Some of you have friends at college. You've got friends in school. If they die, they're going to a devil's hell. Are you going to any lengths to tell them there is a great Savior? Asking them where they're going when they die. Not only do we see an explanation, a declaration, but we see a manifestation of compassion. I notice in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, he showed compassion by what he wrought. They came over unto the other side of the sea into a country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Verses 1 and 2. And old preacher, help me with these two verses years ago. I never got over it. He talked about preaching between the lines. You ever thought a preacher was preaching to you and he was preaching between the lines? It wasn't in the text. I tell you, there's some good stuff between the lines. He told me that between verse 1 and verse 2, when Jesus gets out of this ship, he's got a package under his arm. He said, you can't see it in the text. He said, but I assure you, he's got a package under his arm. He'll go to great lengths to help a sinner. He has come, this old boy is demon possessed. He has been out there for a long time. I'm talking about he showed compassion by what he wrought. Watch the text if you've got it there in front of you. Verse number 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because they had often bound him with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. Hey, how would you like to go out there to bury grandma and he show up? Wow, y'all. I can see some. Get ready to hit you. Crazy sinner. Not Jesus. Oh, no. Got something under his arm. Got a little package. Watch the text. Oh, I ain't even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it.
He says in verse number 6, and when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I assure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he hath saith unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? He answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. He's full of the devil. Sought him much. He would not send them away out of the country. There was a great nine in the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. But all the devils besought him, saying, send us the swine that we may enter into them. The Bible tells us, verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had a legion sitting and... He stopped over there in the village. He knowed his sizes. He made him. Crown on his head. Loves sinners. He'll go to any kind of extent to make sure they got what they need. He's got him shoes. He probably got him some underwear. He got it all right there. Clothed. And in his right mind. Showed compassion by what he wrought. But I noticed that he showed compassion by what he withheld. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of the country, out of their coast. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wants to go. Oh, woo, glory to God, that boy's going to be a missionary. He's going to travel with Jesus. He said, you can't come. How come? He says in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith in him, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had. There it is. He said, go tell them what I did for you. Preacher, I tell you, I'm just not a Bible student. I just don't understand the Bible. I don't know how to quote the Bible. Hey, could you possibly tell them what he did for you? Huh? Are you listening to me? Go to any length to tell a sinner about him. I was thinking tonight, it's been several years ago, I was in Jonesboro, Georgia on Sunday night preaching for Joe Arthur. It was a normal service. I don't know that there was anything that great happened. Joe said when I got done preaching, he said, there's a missionary here tonight from Brazil. He said, we're going to give him 10 minutes to tell us about his field of service. And he said, we're going to the house. I don't remember nothing that missionary said. Nothing. Zero. When he stepped behind the pulpit, something happened to me. I cannot explain it. There was a woman's face come right on the end of my nose. I could see her as clear as a bell. Say, preacher, you thinking about a woman? That was my thought too. Why is this woman's face on the end of my nose? And I looked at her and I saw who it was. It's my bank teller. Go there every time I go to the bank. Her name was Katie. The Holy Ghost whispered to me, why haven't you ever said anything to her about me? Wow. What you going to tell him when he does that? Because I don't want to. Monday, I went back to Athens, Georgia. I got to make a deposit. I'm feeling like a great soul winner. Man, I am going to pose the question to this old gal, where are you going when you die? She's always been bubbly, happy, 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 happy. I pulled up to the window and I said, Katie, how you doing? Fine. Never heard her talk like that. I thought to myself, this would probably not be a good day to bring this subject up that I need to bring up. You remember?
So I thought maybe I would just gently step into it. I said, Katie, did you go to church yesterday? Oh, my word. I did not expect what happened. She had a total meltdown in the box. Oh, preacher! Oh, my mama tried to get me to go to church yesterday morning. I'm lost and on my way to hell. I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, did not know that question would do that. I know the great soul winners would have took her down to Romans Road, to German Road, to French Road, got her to pray some little old prayer, notched their belt and gone home. I did not. I told her what God had done for me back in 1968 when I met a great Savior, because I was a great sinner and I drove off. For the next 3 weeks, every time I come to the bank, Katie's got her Bible laying out there. She's got all kind of books out there. She would look in her rear view mirror. If there was nobody behind me, she had all kind of questions. She's asking questions about these books she's read, the Bible text that she's read. 3 weeks went on, all kind of questions. After 3 weeks, I went there on a Monday. She looked like a Chessie cat eating cotton, smiling from ear to ear. This is what she said. She said, you won't believe what happened to me last night. I said, what happened to you, Katie? She said, I got saved. But then she did this. She took that microphone up real close. She pointed at the glass and she said, and it's all your fault. Are you listening to me? I wonder if there'll be any in heaven that will point to you and say, well, you told me that I was a sinner in need of a great Savior. Just thinking about what the old songwriter said about it. Weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from pity, hail in the grave. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. How come they are slumbering on the brink of woe? Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go to hell without you at least questioning them one more time about their soul? I was thinking about how many opportunities God affords us. He wants us to get in on Him telling a sinner that He's a great Savior. Week before last, I was sitting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. You couldn't stir them on the street. Elderly man came and sat right down beside me on the bench. He asked me where I was from. I said, I'm from Athens, Georgia. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. I said, sure enough. I said, I go to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee every year and preach. I said, what kind of work do you do? He said, I own a sawmill in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. He said, all my children, all my grandchildren work for me. He said, I have 14 logging trucks that roll every day. I asked him, I said, where do you go to church at in Lawrenceburg? He looked at me, he said, you know, buddy, I can't remember the last time I darkened the church door. I said, could I ask you another question? He said, sure. I said, where would you go if you dropped dead right here on this bench and never got up? He said, I know where I'd go. He said, I'd go to heaven. Thought about some of you when he said that. He made this statement. See, you ain't got to go to church to be saved. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, if you've ever been saved, you'll want to go to church. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll love church. You'll eat church. You'll think church. You'll digest church. You want to come over here tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You want to get here early because he said he loved the church. I was wondering tonight, has God brought anybody to mind tonight that you need to go and tell them he's a great Savior? I wonder if he's confronted you tonight about your soul. Amen. Preacher, I'm thinking right here on this bench, if I die, I'm going to hell. I beg you tonight, bow to him. He's got the crown on his head. He loves sinners. Well, what in the world can he do for sinners? He loves to save them. They must bow to him. They must repent of their sin. I don't know what the need is tonight. Would you stand with us tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God spoke to you tonight about some sinner, maybe a child. Oh, don't embarrass them in front of everybody. Maybe get them by themselves. Confront them. One more time about their soul. You say, preacher, I've questioned them many times. I'd question them again. I wonder tonight if God's laid some sinner on your heart. Maybe you'd want to reach his place out in this altar tonight and ask God to give you the wherewithal to go confront that sinner. Maybe even tonight before you go to bed, confront that sinner about their soul. Maybe you're here tonight and God has confronted you about your soul. Preacher, I'm lost. I die tonight, I'm going to hell. Oh, friend, tonight, he would go to great lengths tonight to save you. You'll but bow, repent of your sin, ask him to have mercy on your sin-sick, undying soul. While we wait in God's presence for a few moments, altar's open. You do whatever God will allow you to do tonight. I do know this. This man receives sinners. He'll even eat with them because of his compassion. Altar's open. You come.
Do you know this man? Do you want your youngins and your grandyoungins to know this man? I think I said it this morning. We said it Sunday two ago. But when a people go to seeking him, he goes to seeking the people back, business picks up. While that Gadarene demoniac, so demonic, didn't comprehend everything that he needed. But the truth is, the Lord was a seeking. That's why he got on a ship and got off that ship with that package. Oh, my. That boy, he didn't know everything that he needed, but the father did. And when the two of them that were seeking got together, things happened. Oh my, oh my, oh my. There's nobody like this man. Nobody like this man. Now I'm glad he's interested in seeking you and seeking me. I've said in recent weeks, the only reason you and I ever find him because he wants to be found. The only reason you and I ever catch him because he wants to be caught. Some of those times I played hide and seek with Hampton, he's been in such a big rush, he's passed me by a time or two. So I'd stick out my leg He knows what's necessary for you to see him. And the only reason you and I are saved tonight is because he came to us one day. Amen. If there's something you need to do, you need to get at it. God touched my heart about Brother Doug singing. Brother Doug, you come mind the Lord. Altar's open. Y'all listen to him. Listen to this man. Amen.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But he came to me. Of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope.